Today, we're delighted to be welcoming Dr. Fabrizio Di Donna, who will be talking to us about mindfulness-based cognitive therapy for OCD, obsessive compulsive disorder, a manualized treatment program. And Fabrizio will be following up on today's free event with a workshop later this month called An Introduction to MBCT for OCD. And he'll also be leading an in-depth 6-day training later this year. For anyone who wishes to deliver his MBCT program for people with OCD, we will be saying a bit more about these opportunities at the end of today's session. We should have time for two or three questions at the end of today's talk. So I'd like to invite you to type in the chat any questions that you have as we go along. Unfortunately, we may not have time to answer all your questions. My colleagues and I will monitor your questions and we'll probably choose two or three based on any common themes among questions received. I think that's all in terms of housekeeping. So without further ado, I'm going to introduce our guest speaker. So Dr. Di Donna is a clinical psychologist, mindfulness teacher, trainer, supervisor, and author. He's been involved in mindfulness since the end of the 1990s and the beginnings of mindfulness-based cognitive therapy, or MBCT. Dr. Di Donna is an adjunct professor of clinical psychology at the School of Medicine in the University of Padova, a professor in the Institute for Lifelong Learning at the University of Barcelona, and a visiting professor at Shanghai Jiao Tong University. I hope I've pronounced that correctly. He's a founder, director of the International MBCT for OCD Center in Vicenza, Italy, and the developer of the therapeutic model and author of the related manual, Mindfulness-Based Cognitive Therapy for Obsessive Compulsive Disorder, the first manualized and validated mindfulness-based treatment model for OCD. Dr. Di Donna is also a founder and honorary president of the Italian Institute for Mindfulness. He was for 25 years a director of an inpatient unit for mood and anxiety disorders and a unit for OCD at the Villa Margherita Private Hospital in Vicenza, Italy, where he implemented the MBCT model for hundreds of severe and hospitalized patients. He has trained more than 2,000 patients in MBCT in inpatient and outpatient settings. He's also had the privilege of presenting scientific papers, lectures, and workshops at a number of international conferences and universities worldwide, including Harvard and Oxford, and has published numerous articles, several chapters, and three books. He is the editor of the Clinical Handbook of Mindfulness, the first manual on the clinical applications of mindfulness meditation. So thank you all so much for joining us today. And thank you for joining us today. Fabrizio, over to you.
Thank you so much to Holly. So hi, everyone, and welcome to this session on MBCT for OCD. It's a great pleasure and honor for me to give this talk for Oxford Mindfulness Foundation. And it's really wonderful to be here with you all. I'm sorry that I'm not going to see you all, but I hope to feel the contact with you. The same in particular at the end with some questions from you. And first of all, I would like to thank the many people who made this event possible. All of your Oli Basin, Joe Edwards, Makeda McKenzie, Jill Kazanjan, Marion Fur, Ellie Dobson, and Sharon Hadley. There are so many people who are involved in this event, and they provide such a great event organization. So thank you very much for your helpful assistance. So let's get started. What I would like to do today is provide an introduction to the therapeutic program I've developed over the last about 20 years for a really challenging psychiatric problem, obsessive compulsive disorder. And I'd like to start with a funny quote from Mark Twain that I think that most of you already know, who said, there has been much tragedy in my life. At least half of it actually happened. So this is an excellent summary of what life is like for people suffering from OCD. And so this is also a good starting point in order to understand why we have to people, why we have to help people to stay in the present moment. One of the main features of OCD is its heterogeneity. So OCD is really a heterogeneous disorder with really different attitudes, different beliefs, symptoms, and behaviors. In fact, we know that we can have several kinds of OCD type. We have people with problem of checking, people with problem of cleaning houses, of washing hands and showers and so on. But we also have people with problem of order, the tendency to put the put object with symmetry with a big problem of perfectionism. We also can have people with a pure obsessive. So pure obsessing, which individual is not engaged in over compulsion, but is instead characterized by hidden mental rituals. So covert compulsions. We may also have people with the problem of hoarding. So people who need to collect many objects, many unuseful objects. There is also another type of OCD, which is the obsessive compulsive personality disorder, in which we know that there are no overt compulsions, but it's focused on very rigid rules and also judgment, and this is a really big problem. Another kind of OCD is the one characterized by the religious beliefs, strong religious beliefs or superstitious beliefs. And this is very often characterized by magical thinking. And so there is a big problem of thought action fusion, as we will see later. Kind of OCD type is the relationship OCD, in which the person is really really obsessed by concerns and fears about the intimate relationship. So they think they are not sure if they are loved, in love or not in love with their partners, or they are not sure if the partner is the right one, of they are obsessed by specific defects of the partner. So as you can see, these are all very, very different, symptomatology, very different probably also mechanism and mental states, but we all can call this disorders with the same name, OCD. So we have to ask an important question. The question is what common and transversal factors characterize all types of OCD? Because if you want to create, develop an effective treatment for all these kind of types of OCD, We need to find what are the common features, not the different symptoms, of course. And then we have to ask why, which interventions can be effective in treating each of these common features. And in my experience of about 25 years working with OCD patients, I found that there are basically four common features that are not, of course, related to the symptoms of the patient, but some other more general features. The first of them is a severe difficulty to accept. So they have a big problem with acceptance. They have a problem of accepting some harmless and impermanent internal events, so the private experience, and so sensory perception, emotional states, physical sensation, and thoughts. And this leads the person to defend themselves from this kind of experience. Another common feature is a difficulty to prevent or delay a reaction. So this kind of patients are very almost often in reaction when they are in touch with some specific thoughts or feelings, emotions, or physical sensations, and they react with specific defensive or protective behaviors. There is an interesting equation in Buddhist psychology, which is the equation of suffering, in which we see that suffering is the product of pain times resistance. So, which means that the more we resist to pain, the more we increase pain, and therefore the more we create suffering. In fact, people with OCD tend to react over and over again in order to get rid of a particular form of harmless pain, which are always thoughts, emotions, and sensations. And in this way, they increase pain, which eventually becomes suffering. So we can say that OCD is a particular form of suffering, which is pain increased. So it's quite clear that following this equation, that if we are able to eliminate resistance or decrease the level of resistance, we can decrease suffering in OCD, but not only OCD, of course, in every kind of psychological disorder. Another common features that we can find in OCD is the overactivation of the self-protective system, of the threat system in the brain, which is a system this designed to activate protective behavior, defensive behaviors, when we perceive a danger or a threat, a real threat or imagined threat. And it is also the system in the brain that activated defensive emotions such as anxiety, anger, or disgust. And from a neurobiological point of view, we know that the networks in the brain that send out all the warnings are too active in OCD. We also know that the spontaneous reaction to these warnings are too strong, too intense, too frequent in OCD. And with respect to The soothing system, which is another system in the brain, which is the system which is which function is to inhibit the activation of the protective system in OCD is to wake. So this is really important to understand because it make us to understand how we can rebalance in a healthy way all of these systems in the OCD brain. This is really connected, as we will see later, with the mindfulness-based approach, of course. And this is the scary image that probably many people with checking OCD have in their mind when they think that they have forgotten to lock the door. This seems quite funny, probably, but believe me, not for OCD people. But this is what happened when the threat system in the brain is overactivated. So the fourth feature that I found crucial in OCD, in my opinion, is a core feature, is a feeling of self-mistrust. A feeling of self-mistrust. In fact, one of the most common features in all OCD patients, regardless their specific symptoms, is a cognitive distrust or mistrust toward their own internal experience and or toward the basic function of consciousness, some basic function of consciousness. The first is a distrust in perception. So OCD people always have their senses up and running, of course, like all of us, but they are not able to validate what their senses are communicated to them about the critical situations. So in this case, the mind takes over and they are not able to trust their senses. This is an important problem. They may also have distrust in memory. So OCD people normally have a very good memory, very often even better than ours, but they just do not trust their memories. So they are never sure about what they did or did not do. So for this reason, they have to repeat over and over again several behaviors. They may also have not actually, I have to say that not all people affected by OCD can have this kind of distrust, but in particular, people with a checking problem, the checkers, they may have distrust in intentions. This is a really a paradoxical issue. Because they fear doing something that is always the opposite of their real intentions. And that's why they never do what they fear doing in this way. So they can fear, for example, to be rapists, pedophiles, or killers. So something that they would totally hate to be. And this is the OCD paradox. So OCD individuals distrust all the functions that give us the best possible relationship with reality. And that's why I conceptualize, I define OCD as a trust disorder. And this is a core component in an MCT program. So we dedicated at least two sessions of the program to the theme of trust and mistrust, and we help people to develop this important feeling. There is a really interesting quote by Frank Crane, who is an American writer and journalist, which summarizes the problem of trust in OCD. You may be deceived if you trust too much, but you will live in torment if you don't trust enough. And actually, this is the life of OCD individuals, of people affected by OCD. So, regarding the treatment of OCD, we know that now we have some really effective treatment model for OCD. In particular, CBT is a gold standard for this kind of problem. And in particular, when it is integrated with the exposure and response prevention. And also pharmacotherapy is an effective treatment. We know that about 40 to 60% of patients can improve with this kind of treatment. But we also know that this kind of treatment can have some limits. One of the limits is represented by this cartoon with the Professor Gallagher technique, in which he tried to simultaneously confront the fear of hate, snakes, and the dark in the same moment. So, as you understand, it's a really challenging intervention for most patients. And this is the reason, because many, many patients tend to drop out when they start the ERP treatment, the ERP intervention. In fact, we have a chart in which we can see what is the real level of improvement in with CBT for OCD. We know that about 20% of patients fail this kind of treatment and or relapse at follow-up. We also know that about 25% refuse the treatment after it is explained by the therapist, from the therapist. And another 12% have a dropout when they started to the treatment, the CBT treatment. So at the end, we know that less than 50% of patients improved and maintained improvement at follow-up. So we have another question with respect to this. We have to ask what more can we do to help people with OCD who have yet to find enough relief from this disorder? What we can do more? What kind of techniques, strategies, and practices we can add to the already established treatments in order to increase the improvement for this kind of disorder? And you can probably easily imagining the answer of this to this question, because probably mindfulness can be an answer. Oh, this is what I found in about 25 years of work with this kind of patient and in teaching mindfulness. And we can start to understand why mindfulness can be helpful for OCD, starting with the definition of mindfulness. And we can use the really popular definition by Jon Kabat-Zinn, who said that mindfulness is the awareness that emerges through paying attention on purpose in the present moment and non-judgmentally to the unfolding of experience moment to moment. we can easily realize how the state of mindfulness is different or even the opposite of the OCD states of mind. So, for example, on purpose, people with OCD have an attentional deficit. So for them it's really difficult to pay attention to what is not connected to their problem and could also disconfirm their fears. The other component is in the present. They are almost always in the past. So they asked themselves what I could have done or in the future, so what I could do. And the other component is non-judgmental. People with OCD constantly judge themselves for their behavior or for what they feel and what they think. So you can easily understand what can happen if you are able to train and people affected with OCD with these qualities, with these skills. Mindfulness states is a state which may be conceptualized as the antithesis of many obsessive mechanisms, phenomena, and mental states. And in this sense, OCD can be seen and also defined as a state of severe mindlessness, which is the opposite concept of mindfulness. And we try to investigate this issue in a study with a sample of 50 patients with depression, 50 patients with borderline personality disorder, and 50 patients with OCD, and also 50 non-clinical people. And we discovered that all three clinical samples showed a significant deficit in mindfulness measured with the FFMQ by Ruth Bail scale, by Ruth Bear, compared to the normal sample. And this is interesting because this outcome supports the rationale of using mindfulness integrated with CBT with this kind of disorder. But we can also, I found very interesting when I discovered a beautiful quote, a beautiful Buddhist quote taken from an old Buddhist text, the Anguttara Nikaya, which sum up the effective treatment of OCD, when it says, not through actions, not through words, do we become free from mental contamination, but seeing and acknowledging them over and over. So, translating in OCD terms, not through rituals, not through reassurances, nor verbal compulsions, do we become free from obsessions, but just observing those thoughts at a distance and without reaction. So in this quote, in my opinion, we can find the essence of effective treatment for obsessive problem. And this was really inspiring for me in developing MBCT for OCD model. Mindfulness training, and in particular MBCT for OCD, has been designed as a comprehensive approach for individual affected by OCD. So it is focused on the person as a whole, and not only on the specific symptoms of the disorder. So it is a sort of a whole person care model. And this is an important feature of this therapeutic program. So to sum up, why MCT for OCD model can be helpful for people affected by OCD? OCD individuals need to learn effective ways to permanently overcome from their cognitive biases. So mindfulness is a state of mind in which individuals pay attention in a particular way to the present moment on purpose and without judgment. And this is the opposite of a rumination. Rumination is a reactive metacognitive mode. So it's very, very different from from mindfulness. In this, mindfulness is also an anti-avoidant attitude, because we help patients to move forward what they fear and not to avoid them. And it is a really interesting part of this treatment. We also know that the first component of mindfulness involves the self-regulation of attention. So it is focused on the immediate experience, and we know that most of the patients have mindfulness deficits, and mindfulness is a sort of attentional training. So it is a very helpful in order to improve these deficits. We also know that mindfulness program can help people to develop some specific skill, metacognitive skills, such as the centering and this identification. So they are able to develop a special attitude in which they realize that, for example, these thoughts are not me, or this feeling is not me, this sensation is not me. This is the special quality of this identification. So this is as a result of being able to observe them, to observe all of this kind of experience from a meta perspective. So we know that mindfulness training leads to a significant shift in perspective. Another important effect of mindfulness training, and particularly MCT for OCD program, is that through mindfulness, they train their brain to underactivate the threat system in the brain, and to develop an attitude to activate the shooting system in the brain, in absence of real danger, of course. And this is also an effect of the self-compassion training, which is a component of this program, an important component of this program. People affected by OCD also learn to learn acceptance, this important quality, learn to accept their internal states, and learn to self-validate their internal states, and in particular their perceptive experience. This is an important effect, of course, as you can understand, in their symptomatology. But another important effect is that mindfulness, and in particular what we share in this program, is very helpful to develop self-trust. And self-trust is a component that is developed from the first to the last session of the program, even though we have two specific sessions dedicated to this topic. So let me show you some specific features of this therapeutic model. MCT for OCD integrates, in particular, four main scientific and cultural areas. The first is evolutionary psychologists, because we know that several studies show how obsessive symptoms are basically normal and adaptive defensive responses to threatening stimuli. And in this sense, they are not the real problem in OCD, but a logical consequence of a threatening way to interpret reality. So evolutionary psychology can help us, and our patient as well, to make it possible to normalize psychological problems in a way that is logical and coherent. So this is an important component of this program, normalization. In particular, because people affected by OCD tend to pathologize their problem in a really severe ways. Another important component that supports the rationale of this therapeutic program is neurobiology. What the neurobiological studies show us now is that when OCD is active, there are some specific brain areas in the cortex that are overactivated or underactivated, in particular the amygdala and some areas in the prefrontal cortex, the medial prefrontal cortex and the anterior cingulate cortex. What is really interesting to see is that also mindfulness training can activate in a healthy way the same areas of the brain. And in this training can also change and rewire some specific OCD circuits in the brain. There is an interesting quote by a Buddhist text that says that what you practice grows stronger. So if you train the brain in bad ways, you will have a bad functioning. You will have bad feelings and bad behaviors. But if you are able to train your brain in a healthy way, you can have more adaptive feelings, more adaptive behaviors, more healthy thoughts. In fact, we know that through the phenomena of neuroplasticity, we know that training the brain can change the brain, that training the mind can change the brain. And how we do that in the MCT for OCD model? We try to do that through mindfulness training, through a regular mindfulness training, not only during the session, but also during every day on a regular basis. Also introducing new healthy habits in the life of OCD affected by OCD, because when they improve from their problem, they need to cover all the empty spaces that they are created by the improvement, and they need to introduce some healthy habits in their lives. Also, cognitive training is important to change their mental functioning, and also to change the brain. Mindful exposure, which is a special form of exposure integrated with mindfulness, special form of ERP integrated with mindfulness, but is much less anxiety evoking than the classical ERP. Also, self-compassion trainings can be a transformative intervention in this program, and also helping people to take mindful risks in their life. This is an important component at the end of the program, in the 10th session of the program. And also, we help people to cultivate and develop healthy intentions in their life, and also to validate their healthy intentions. This is an important component in the 8th session of the program. Another important areas, of course, is a cognitive behavioral therapy, because it is an MBCT model. And even though it is not a large part of the program, it is what we do in terms of cognitive and behavioral elements is really important. And finally, of course, Buddhist psychology is an important cultural area, and the most of the most principles and strategies and practices that we develop in this program, of course, derive from Buddhist psychology. But what are the basic features of this therapeutic model? The format can be in group or in individual. So this is important to know, because most mindfulness-based programs are provided only in a group format. But in this case, I tried to find a way to provide this this program also in individual setting. And this is important because it's not so easy to collect a group of OCD patients. And we do that because we are in a center, in a specialized center for OCD, but it's not easy. We can provide the program in person, but also online. We developed this format in particular after the COVID period, and we found that is as much effective than in person format. The number of sessions is 11. We have 9 standard sessions, and then we have 1 session with family members, which is the third session of the program. And the final session is a one-day session in a retreat, a sort of a retreat format. The duration of the session is 3 hours, so we have long sessions, and it takes 2 hours in individual format. We ask patients to practice for at least 1 hour a day, 7 days a week, and the number of participants ranging from 4 to 10. And we also have some exclusion criteria, which are basically the same exclusion criteria that we can find in all kind of group therapy, because it's important in order to preserve the group and also preserve the patient to have a problem in this kind of format. What are the key features of the MCT for OCD program? I found that we have basically 7 key features. And the one is understanding. The first thing that we do with the participant in the program is help them to understand. First, they need to understand what mindfulness is, and this is done in the first session of the program. But they also have to understand how OCD works and how mindfulness can intervene in the OCD functioning. Okay, so OCD mechanism and biases. Another important component, as I told you before, is normalizing. We try to normalize their often scary experience, and we have to transmit to patient the message that what you do is not abnormal. You are not crazy. But you just activate defensive attitudes, reactions, and behaviors in an intensive way. So too frequently, in a too intensive way. So we have to understand that the problem is that they have to decrease this their way to react to their internal experience. Another important feature is helping people to develop self-trust, and also to help them to self-validate their internal experience and their perceptive experience. And they also, an important component, of course, is an intensive training in the mindfulness and compassion, in particular self-compassion, and also, as we will see, in self-forgiveness. And also cognitive intervention is a key topic in this program. Mindful exposure is an important component that we introduce in the eighth session of the program, and because they need to start to expose to what they fear, but with a normal attitude. So in the same way we would expose to the same stimuli. And also an important component is sharing, but this is helpful just for the group format, because sharing can be seen as a specific therapeutic component in this program, because in this group, people affected by OCD probably for the first time are able to share their problems, their contents, their questions with other people who suffers from the same disorder. And we have seen that it can be beneficial for most participants in the group. Let me show you very briefly the basic themes of each session of the program. The first session is focused on understanding what mindfulness is. In the second session, we help people to understand how OCD works and how mindfulness can be helpful for this kind of functioning, this kind of mechanisms and biases. The third session is with family members in order to help them to be more helpful for their relatives, for their family member, OCD family member. And so we help them to understand what is helpful to do and what is not helpful to do, in order to overcome several problems that they often create in their attitude to help their family member. But they very often did the wrong thing. So, for example, they give reassurances, or they do rituals instead of them. So all of these problems need to be clarified, and they need to be how to be more helpful for them. Another important theme is self-trust. In the fourth session, we help people to understand their own self-mistrust, and we start to help them to develop a real trust. And we do the same thing in the fifth session, but we focus on the senses. So the first step to develop trust is be more confident with their senses and validate what their senses communicate to them. The sixth session of the program is particularly important because we help people to develop a healthy relationship with thoughts. So they are able to understand the real nature of thoughts and also emotions and feelings. And they're starting to develop a decentered and disidentificated relationship with thoughts. The seventh session is dedicated to acceptance. So they learn to understand what acceptance means. And they also have some important practices dedicated to develop this important quality. The eighth session is focused on mindful intentions and also mindful exposure. And I already talked about these themes before. The ninth session is focused on developing self-compassion and self-forgiveness. They are important components in this program because they are very effective to deal with some specific cognitive biases which are very often difficult to treat with cognitive interventions, because my compassion is able to work with emotion directly, and can have a really powerful effect, as probably most of you already know the effect of compassion. The 10th session of the program is dedicated to help people to take mindful risks in their life. We are at the end of the program, and they need to start to open to life, and they need to do what they normally have fear to do. This is important in order to start to live the life that they want to live, and not just a life without symptoms. This is not a therapeutic aim. The last session of the program is a one-day session, which we try to motivate patients to keep on going with the practice after the end of the program. We refresh some important practices of the program. So it is a really important, it's a really important motivational session at the end. And okay, so we have now some evidence, some important evidence about the effectiveness of mindfulness and also MCT for OCD. This is just a brief review on this topic. We have an open trial that demonstrated that mindfulness can be effective in decreasing the OCD symptoms, and also in increasing mindfulness skills. And we have seen in this study that probably mindfulness can be a mediator of improvement in OCD. We also have improvement in other variables such as depression or anxiety and other psychiatric variables. We also have the first randomized controlled trial with a 6-month follow-up that we published with the colleagues, my colleagues at the University of Shanghai in China. And we have an important we are able to carried out a study with 123 patients divided in 3 samples. And what we have seen that at the end of treatment, the patients have a significant improvement that were able to maintain at follow at 6 months follow-up. And this improvement is very similar to the improvement of the pharmaco group, so people treated with antidepressant. This is a really important and interesting outcome. Here we can you can see some picture taken from a real group with OCD patients. And finally, I'd like just to show you the MCT for OCD manual that has been published by Guildford Press in 2019. And we also have now other translated versions. We have an Italian version, a Chinese version, a Russian version, a Spanish version, and in a few months, we can also have a French version and a German version. If you want to have more information about this model, you can go to this official website, www.mct4ocd.com. If you want to contact me, this is my email, fabrizio.didonna@unipd.it. This is the MCT for OCD Center where I am now in this moment. And this is our and where we provide this program in individual and group format. and we also train people in this program. And finally, I would like to give you a good news. If you are still skeptical about the possibility to train people in mindfulness, people affected by OCD in mindfulness, I can show you the evidence that probably you are wrong, because everybody can learn to meditate, and this is the evidence, as you can see. And after these funny pictures, I would like to thank you for your mindful attention.
Thank you so much, Fabrizio, for a very rich and fascinating talk.